Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases 48. Ector County negative 516 out of 631 tested with 67 pending. Two deaths. Midland County, 36 confirmed out of 933 tested, two deaths. Texas, 15,492 confirmed with 151,810 tested. Total Texas deaths, 364. U.S. cases, 605,390 total confirmed, and 24,582 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits, virtual walk, share. Sharing Hands, a respite experience, has scheduled the 11th annual Autism SHARE Share virtual walk through Saturday. A program and prize drawings will be broadcasted via Facebook, www.facebook.com/SHARE WTX. Live at 10 a.m., and a virtual resource fair will take place at 11 a.m., April 18th, via Zoom, where local agencies will meet with registrants. Funds will benefit SHARE, which goes to provide support services to local family members who care for children with special needs. For more information, email Rachel Reinert, Director of Marketing and Development at REINNERT at sharewtx.org or call 432-818-1257. Register at autismsharewalk.com to receive the full list of instructions and access to fun crafts, activities, and other contests. From staff reports. Volunteers needed. As frontline workers continue to help us fight COVID-19, the Illinois Art Museum are making headbands that hold masks with buttons to prevent sore ears, and they are in need of community help. Donations of old cotton knit shirts, stretchy, fabric or buttons to help them continue to create headbands for Odessa Regional Medical Center with a goal of 250. For those who know how to sew and have fabric buttons at home, your help is appreciated in creating headbands. There is a donation box at the west door entrance where donations can be dropped off, contact free. For questions or information, email marketing@noelartmuseum.org. Hello, this is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 16th, 2020, page 2, read. OAOA.com. Munoz named VP of SRSU Middle Rio Grande Campuses. OA Life at OAOA.com. Alpine. Robert Munoz has been selected as the new vice president of Sol Ross State University Middle Rio Grande Campuses, in an announcement April 13th. Munoz will begin his new position on June 1st. President Bill Kibler said Munoz will lead the three MRGC campuses in Del Rio, Eagle Pass, and Uvalde. Since 2008, Munoz has served as vice president for community and industry education and Executive Director of Community Education and Engagement at the Trinity River Campus, TRC, of Tarrant County College in Fort Worth. While at TRC, Munoz helped restructure allied health programs to enhance the overall health care system function. He also established the campus as a GED test site, enhancing testing flexibility through ease of access. Munoz also built and sustained lasting partnerships with local businesses and community leaders. Under his leadership, TRC created the Bilingual Business Series Certificate, an 8-week accelerated bilingual business education series, providing tools on how to start, grow, and sustain a successful business. Prior to his arrival at TRC, Munoz served as an instructor and administrator at Odessa College for 16 years. During his tenure at OC, Munoz worked as an instructor of management and also served as department chair of management and business administration. From 1993 to 1999, Munoz provided leadership and strategic vision to advance the department's research and teaching. He led the department to an exemplary rating by the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board and collaborated with the City of Odessa in offering leadership training to staff members. Munoz was then promoted to Dean of Continuing Education, where he oversaw annual planning functions, including development and launch of new programs, enrollment growth, technology, non-credit opportunities, grants, compliance, research, and services. He successfully expanded workforce programs to provide an inclusive work and learning environment for incarcerates at federal prison in Pecos. Munoz also served as Dean of Workforce and Technical Studies at OC. In that capacity, he managed overall operations and budgets and reviewed and identified cost-effective and efficient use of departmental resources. Munoz also expanded program services to Presidio to create opportunities for continued education. Munoz earned his Bachelor's of Science in Criminal Justice from the University of Texas at El Paso in 1977. He then received an Associate's Degree in Applied Science from Odessa College in 1983, before earning his Master's of Education in Counseling from Sel Ross in 1997. He went on to receive his Doctorate in Educational Administration in 2007 from New Mexico State University. Munoz is the 2014 recipient of the Fort Worth Hispanic Heritage Award. Other honors and awards include Hispanic Chamber of Commerce Champion, Fort Worth, 2014-2015, Chairman's Award, 2019 Brillo Award, Hispanic Women's Network, Fort Worth, 2013, Friend of Texas Award, Phi Theta Kappa, 2013, Community Partner Award, Links Odessa, 2006, Outstanding Faculty Rodeo Team Club, 2003, Outstanding Role Model, Hispanic Heritage of Odessa, 2002-2003, Outstanding Alumni Leadership, Odessa, 2002, and Outstanding Faculty and Staff Inaugural Award, Athletic Department, 2002. Munoz is currently a cabinet member of the Tarrant County United Way. He is past president of the Hispanic Wellness Coalition, 2015 through 2017, Chair, City of Odessa Board of Adjustment, 2005 through 2008, Chair, Odessa Chamber of Commerce, 2004-2005, Advisory Board Member, Odessa American Newspaper, 2003 through 2008, Advisory Board Member, Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board and Distant Education, 2003 through 2007, President Links of Odessa, 2003-2004, and President Midland and Odessa Transportation Board, 2003-2004. UTPB offers housing to medical personnel. oanews@oaoa.com. The University of Texas Permian Basin is working closely with Medical Center Health System and Odessa Regional Medical Center to provide housing during the COVID-19 response for the medical community. During this crisis, it remains a top priority for UT Permian Basin to help the West Texas community and give back to those who are serving others. It is critical that all of us continue to find ways to lighten the burden of the men and women who are working every day on the front lines of the pandemic. The university is honored to be able to provide a safe place for them to go during this time, President Sandra Woodley said in a news release. Like many universities across the country, UTPB is finalizing an agreement that will make 3 isolated apartment buildings available to the medical providers and first responders. The university is discussing agreements with other local entities for those apartments. We are extremely thankful for UT Permian Basin's efforts in giving our frontline staff a safe and comfortable place to stay during this pandemic. Russell Tippin, president and CEO of Medical Center Health System, said in a news release. Their generosity is part of what makes this West Texas community so special, and we are grateful for this partnership. There are no students currently in these buildings. The buildings and parking lots are separate from the limited number of students who remain in emergency housing. Each apartment has its own air conditioning unit and includes a kitchen, making the spaces ideal while following CDC guidelines and social distancing. I am so grateful for our partnership with UTPB. This housing initiative, which will protect our frontline healthcare workers' families, is just one example of UTPB's reach well beyond the education of our community. I want to extend my sincere appreciation to Dr. Sandra Woodley and her team for all of their many efforts to help ease the burden placed on the medical community during this crisis, said Stacy Brown, president of Odessa Regional Medical Center. The university is leasing the apartments free of charge. However, the apartments will be cleaned and maintained by MCH, ORMC, or other entity. Annal North America donates $175,000 for coronavirus relief in West Texas. OANews@OAOA.com. Annal North America announced it was making a $175,000 donation toward COVID-19 relief in West Texas Wednesday. The donation is part of a $1.3 million community-based relief effort the company is making with the 75 local agencies across the U.S. and Canada. The company is committing $50,000 to Upton County to support community hospitals and school districts, while the rest of the $125,000 will be divided up among volunteer fire districts in Rankin, McCamey, Ira Ann, and Ozona. The COVID-19 pandemic is an unprecedented situation that we all must come together to conquer, Upton County Judge Dusty W. Kilgore said in a news release. Annal's donation to Upton County will help hospitals, first responders, and schools fight against this virus. The commitment that Annal has shown to our communities will help build a brighter future for Upton County. Annal operates 3 plants in Texas, including the Roadrunner Solar Project in McCamey and a wind farm that stretches between Upton and Crockett counties. On the net, tinyurl.com/U7X9FYW. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 16th, 2020, local. Pair accused of kidnapping boy from adopted mother. OANews@OAOA.com. A 22-year-old man and a 23-year-old woman reportedly kidnapped a 2-year-old boy from his adopted mother. Damian Cortez, 22, and Kiara Diane Madrid, 23, were each charged with kidnapping, a third-degree felony. Ector County Sheriff's Office deputies were dispatched at 9:15 a.m. April 9th in the 3000 block of Milky Way Avenue, an ECSO affidavit stated. Deputies reportedly made contact with complainant, 50-year-old Natalie Fincher, who stated a man and woman, later identified as Cortez and Madrid, in a silver 2015 Kia, pulled up in front of her residence, exited the vehicle, approached her, assaulted her, took her 2-year-old son, placed him in the vehicle, and left without her permission. Fincher stated she's the non-biological mother to the 2-year-old boy. However, she and her husband, 53-year-old Timothy Wiley, adopted him in May 2018 when he was born, the affidavit stated. Fincher reportedly told deputies she didn't have any problems until May 1st when Wiley was arrested. According to jail records, Wiley was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on April 2nd for 2 counts of theft of property, a state jail felony, resisting arrest, search of transport, a Class A misdemeanor, and evading arrest or detention, a Class A misdemeanor. Fincher stated people related to the 2-year-old boy's biological mother started to harass her and come to her residence unwanted, the affidavit stated. Fincher reportedly told deputies that she and her 2-year-old son had went outside at about 9 p.m. to walk to the mailbox to check the mail. She stated when she got to the driveway of her residence, Cortez and Madrid exited their vehicle and ran towards her. Fincher stated as they made contact with her, they reached for the 2-year-old boy and attempted to take him from her. Fincher stated Cortez and Madrid tried to take the boy. She was tackled to the ground, which caused her to hit her right eye near her eyebrow. That caused bruising and swelling. She also received a scratch on the right side of her face, on her cheek, just below her eye. She said as she hit the ground, she got minor cuts and bruises on her knees, and there was also pain in her neck and back. Fincher reportedly detailed to deputies the fall caused her to lose grip of her 2-year-old son, which allowed Cortez and Madrid to grab him and run to their vehicle and put him inside. Fincher stated, as they attempted to leave, she grabbed the red bottle of spray paint that was lying on the ground, ran toward their car, and began to spray it with the red paint, which left red marks on the vehicle. Fincher stated when the vehicle sped off, she immediately called ECSO to report the kidnapping, the affidavit stated. Deputies located the vehicle with the red spray paint on the hood inside in the 6200 block of West 26th Street, where Cortez and Madrid were found in possession of the 2-year-old boy. Cortez and Madrid reportedly admitted taking the child, but denied causing bodily injury to Fincher. Cortez and Madrid were arrested, charged, and transported to the jail. Cortez and Madrid each had one bond, totaling $20,000, jail records show. Madrid posted bail on Friday, while Cortez was bailed out on Saturday. Man charged with assaulting disabled girl, leaving boy home alone. OA News at OAOA.com. A 29-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly hit a 6-year-old disabled girl and left a 9-year-old boy alone in a bedroom for 3 hours while he went to the grocery store. Jeremy Wayne Guy was charged April 9th with injury to a child, a second-degree felony, abandoning a child, a second-degree felony, and assault family violence, a Class C misdemeanor. Ector County Sheriff's Office deputies were dispatched on February 17th to the 5700 block of North Tom Green Avenue in reference to injury to a child, an ECSO affidavit detailed. Deputies made contact with the 6-year-old disabled girl's mother, who was identified as 36-year-old Trista Guy. She stated that after arriving home from work on February 17th, the 6-year-old girl told her mom that she went into the bathroom while Jeremy Guy was in there. The 6-year-old girl reportedly told her mother that Jeremy Guy popped her in the mouth, which caused her pain. Trista Guy also stated that her husband hit the girl in the face with a closed fist, which caused pain, bruising, and swelling on the right side of her face. Trista Guy stated her husband has hit the 6-year-old girl in the face several times over the past few months, the affidavit detailed. After speaking with her daughter, Trista Guy reportedly told deputies that her 9-year-old son came to her and told her while she was at work on February 16th that Jeremy Guy became angry with him and hit him on the arm, which caused him pain. She stated her son told her that Jeremy Guy yelled and cussed at him before leaving him alone at home by himself for 3 hours. Trista Guy stated her son locked his bedroom door from the outside, the affidavit stated. Trista Guy stated her son talked to his grandmother on the phone the entire time he was locked in the room, left alone. During the investigation, the 6-year-old girl and 9-year-old boy were reportedly given forensic interviews at Harmony Home, where the girl and boy disclosed information that was of evidentiary value and consistent with their original outcry. After the girl and boy finished their interview, Jeremy Guy was contacted and he advised ECSO investigators he had legal counsel and refused to comment on the situation, the affidavit detailed. A warrant was issued for Jeremy Guy's arrest on April 9th, and he was booked into Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Tuesday, jail records show. Guy has 2 bonds totaling $100,000 and was still in custody as of Wednesday afternoon. Hello, this is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 16th, 2020, OAOA.com. Controller announces new sales tax holiday for emergency preparation. OA News at OAOA.com. Texas Controller of Public Accounts, or possibly Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts, Glenn Hagar, announced Tuesday the creation of a new sales tax holiday for emergency preparation supplies to help residents prepare for hurricanes and potential turbulent weather. The holiday takes effect at 12:01 a.m. April 25th and ends at midnight on April 27th. Hagar urged residents in a press release to either shop online or practice social distancing measures as described by the CDC due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Unfortunately, strong spring storms, wildfires, and the upcoming hurricane season will still threaten Texans in the months ahead, so it's important that homes and businesses have the supplies they need to face these emergencies, said Hagar in a press release. Qualifying items that are able to be purchased tax-free include household batteries, fuel containers, and flashlights priced at less than $75, hurricane shutters, and emergency ladders priced at less than $300, and portable generators priced at less than $3,000. It does not include masks or other personal protection equipment. The release also stated that delivery, shipping, handling, and transportation charges for online purchases are part of the sales price and that the delivery charge is taxable if the item itself is taxable. A full list of items that may be purchased tax-free is available at the controller's website. On the net, tinyurl.com/QQM4637. City Council passes COVID-19 emergency item by Michael Merlo, MERLO at OAOA.com. Odessa City Council, On Tuesday, multiple items, including an emergency item that approved Odessa Development Corporation's reimbursement of $48,814.76 to West Tech Seal Incorporated for manufacturing COVID-19 items. Although the emergency item wasn't on the agenda, a notice was added online on Monday underneath the agenda packet on the city website. Odessa Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Director Wesley Burnett said that the money was for clear polycarbonate, which he said is related to intubation protection chambers for first responders and for people on the front line doing some of the testing and some of the intubations for COVID-19. They're working to use that same material for some of the possibly drive-through testing or some of the testing so that testers can stand in a protective booth. He said that intubation and testing causes sneezing and coughs, so it's another protective layer. We were asked if we could help with that and get the materials, and ODC stepped up and said they could do that. He said that it could keep employees working and thought it was related to the ODC purpose because it was manufacturing and shop retention. We bought the materials and they donated the labor and the assembly. There won't be any cost to the hospitals. He said that the materials will go to Odessa Regional Medical Center and Medical Center Hospital. Mayor David Turner said that the item was an emergency because it's for COVID-19 and it's for first responders because right now you can't find anything like N95s. And so if they can manufacture something locally, it makes it a lot easier right now because you could make it yourself instead of having to buy it. He said that if they did not approve the item on Tuesday, it would have to wait 2 weeks. City Council talked with Burnett about ODC expenses during the April 6th work session, and ODC had met after that to discuss the purchase. City Council also approved Odessa Fire Rescue's purchase of 4 automatic CPR devices for $79,175 and their replacement of 33 sets of personal protective equipment for $78,001. Other action, approved City Council emergency meeting minutes March 30th, approved City Council work session minutes April 7th, accepted grant funding from Walmart Community Grants Team and Facility Number 2891, and appropriating the funds to Odessa Fire Rescue Resolution. Approved Professional Services Agreement with KDC Associates Resolution. Accepted state dollars from JRAC for trauma funding due to Odessa Fire Rescue meeting all criteria for trauma dollars for $13,484 resolution. Approved the purchase for 4 Lucas automatic CPR devices for $79,175. Approved the purchase of NIBIN cartridge acquisition and triage package for the Odessa Police Department, $218,858. Approved the purchase of 33 sets of personal protective equipment for $78,001. Approved the purchase for the remodel of fire station number 2 for $75,382. Approved the request by Tommy Pugh, owner, Odessa Pugh DTP, LLC, optionee, John Cowan and Associates, agent, for annexation and original zoning of planned development Retail 1, PD-R-1, on an approximately 3-acre tract in Section 4, Block 41, T2S, T&P Railway Company Survey, Ector County, Texas, southeast of the intersection of Legal Lane and Faudry Road. Ordinance, second and final approval. Approved establishing signalized intersections, speed limits, reduced speed school zones, and prohibited parking zones. First approval. tabled adoption of revised Master Thoroughfare Plan, MTP. Local agencies go online to celebrate Arts Advocacy Month. OA News at OAOA.com. Local arts agencies in the Permian Basin, adjusting to the new normal of COVID-19 and social distancing, are using social media and the internet to celebrate Arts Advocacy Month in April. We can't go see a performance at the Permian Playhouse or view an exhibit at the Ellen Noel Art Museum, but what we can do is bring these organizations into your home, Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Ham said. Many people are turning to the arts in this time of isolation and uncertainty. We're reading books, we're listening to and or creating music agencies and the work they are doing during social distancing. Monday, #monologue-Monday, #artsadvocacy, #month. Tuesday, #artsimpact, #artsadvocacymonth. Wednesday, #Wagner-Noel-Wednesdays, #artsadvocacymonth. Thursday, #museum-matters, #artsadvocacymonth. Friday, #artmatters, #artsadvocacymonth. Saturday, #publicart, #artsadvocacymonth. Sunday, #worldart, #artsadvocacymonth. In addition, Odessa Arts and KPEJ Channel 24 are promoting local artists on the morning live show with Amanda Mason and Derek Sibley every weekday morning between 8:30 a.m. and 8:45 a.m. Local artists will be showcased in the Artists in Residence segment. Local artists and performers are encouraged to contact Odessa Arts to submit works and performances for consideration. For more information, call 337-1492. MC partners with Keep Midland Beautiful. OA News at OAOA.com. Midland College Student Activities is partnering with Keep Midland Beautiful for a social media campaign to raise awareness of community environment for Earth Day. The two organizations are encouraging MC students, employees, and community members to post photos of original artwork made with recycled materials or repurposed projects in support of Earth Day 2020. Midland College usually has several student organizations who participate in Earth Day activities, such as cleaning a park or helping with other community projects. Taniqua Hurdle, MC Student Activities Coordinator, said in a news release, "Since we are restricted from participating in group activities this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are thrilled to still be able to participate with KMB in this fun and worthwhile community project. For recycled art, social media postings should include before and after photo with a description of the materials used and the symbolism or message of the piece. Submissions will be accepted via social media using the hashtags #MCRECYCLEART, MC Recycle Art, or #KMB Environmental Project. That's #KMB ENVIRONMENTALPROJECT. For repurposed projects, postings should consist of a before and after photo with a description of materials that have been used from your home and the symbolism or message of the piece. Submissions should use the hashtags #MCRepurposeProject or #KMBEnvironmentalProject. All posts are due by April 22nd, which has officially been designated as Earth Day. The theme for Earth Day 2020 is climate action. Earth Day is a unified response to an environment in crisis. The first Earth Day is credited with launching the modern environmental movement and is now recognized as the planet's largest civic event. The submission deadline is April 22, 2020. For more information about this project, contact Hurdle at thurdle@midland.edu. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 16th, 2020. Death Notice. Lawrence Paul Walsh, Odessa. Lawrence Paul Walsh, 72, of Odessa, died Monday, April 13th, 2020, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for a Thursday, April 16th, 2020, opinion page. Texas View. How can Texas keep refusing Medicaid expansion? The Point. We'd like to think that Abbott would swallow his pride to save lives. Now, during the coronavirus pandemic, is a good time to remind you that Texas is one of 14 states saying no to billions in federal dollars because it won't expand Medicaid coverage. Now is also a good time to point out a few other things. While this pandemic makes more and more Texans eligible for benefits if Medicaid were expanded. Texas is the state with the largest uninsured population, about 5 million of our people. We're the second largest state, which begs the question why we have more uninsured than California, the largest. Answer, we're notoriously stingy with state funding for health care. More than 1.5 million Texans would become eligible if Texas were to expand Medicaid. That number may expand in a hurry with so many people out of work right now. By 2024, we Texans will have paid $36.2 billion in federal taxes that will go to other states, assuming our elected officials continue to refuse Medicaid expansion. Ask yourself how you feel about supporting the health care expenses of Massachusetts, but not Texas. A study released last year by the University of Michigan estimated that 730 Texans die each year because Texas hasn't expanded Medicaid. It's estimated that Texas is saying no to $100 billion, billion with a B, in a decade's span. How can we change this? Governor Greg Abbott has the authority to do it unilaterally, as did his predecessor, Rick Perry. The expansion program started in 2014, and Abbott has been governor since 2015. It also could be done by the legislature. Attempts thus far have failed. Why say no to billions? Perry refused expanded Medicaid, saying the entire Medicaid program was unsustainable. You could say that about any number of government programs and services, including the defense budget. We could try doing without them and see how sustainable that turns out. Abbott said the federal government was being coercive, trying to force Medicaid expansion upon Texas. But if you want to know their real reason, look no further than whose plan it was, President Barack Obama's. That name alone was enough for them to oppose it with every fiber of their beings, despite the guaranteed losses of life that these two pro-life politicians had to have seen coming. Can Abbott be convinced? We are trying to be optimistic. It's why we broached the subject in the first place, because we think coronavirus is the tipping point. We worry what it'll do to the uninsured poor people who don't qualify for Medicaid if Texas doesn't take the expansion. They are at huge risk because they avoid doctor visits they can't afford and because they're willing to risk exposure to keep their low-paying jobs. We're also curious and frightened about how the University of Michigan would recalculate its 730 deaths estimate to account for coronavirus. We'd like to think that Abbott would swallow his pride to save lives and that he'd act quickly, since coronavirus already is here killing Texans. But that's a lot of pride to swallow. When Abbott was Attorney General, he took the lead in the lawsuit by Republican-led states against the federal government, winning states' rights to refuse Medicaid expansion. It happened at the Supreme Court level in 2012 and could be considered Abbott's crowning achievement as a lawyer. So you can see how significant an about-face it would be for Abbott to accept Medicaid expansion. It would be up there with Jesse Helms' reversal of his stance against funding programs to combat AIDS after Bono lobbied him. Willie Nelson, are you listening? In other words, it's unlikely but possible. El Paso Times. Guest view. More funding needed to protect paychecks in pandemic, by Senator John Cornyn. As the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Texas continues to grow, we can't help but ask when. When will the outbreak peak? When will people go back to work? When will things return to normal? This situation is unlike any our country has faced before. It combines the fear of a public health emergency with the uncertainty of an economic one. The timeline to resume our routines largely depends on our abilities to stop the spread of the virus and provide our hospitals, healthcare professionals, and first responders with the resources they need on the front lines. But it also involves throwing a lifeline to the people, businesses, and institutions that define our own versions of normal so they can open their doors when this crisis ends. Think about your favorite restaurant or the gym you visit a few times a week. There's the flower shop you call before every wedding anniversary, the bookstore whose aisles you love to browse, and the barbershop you call when you need a haircut. At no fault of their own, these businesses have been forced to close their doors or dramatically shift operations to deal with the current circumstances. As a result, the businesses and employees our communities love and depend on are in jeopardy. In late March, President Donald Trump signed the CARES Act, C-A-R-E-S Act, the third bill passed by Congress to bolster our nation's response to the novel coronavirus. It provided hundreds of billions of dollars in funding for hospitals and local governments and took bold steps to protect American jobs. This legislation established the nearly $350 billion Paycheck Protection Program to keep businesses and their employees afloat. It provides loans to small businesses, which they can use to cover not only employee salaries and wages, but also health care benefits, retirement contributions, and paid sick leave. This assistance can also help with a business's rent or mortgage payments, supply chain disruptions, and utilities. Not only are these loans low interest, but employers can have certain portions of the loan forgiven if they maintain their payroll and don't cut salaries. Over the past several weeks, I've joined virtual meetings and conference calls with countless small business owners across the state, from San Antonio to El Paso, Longview to the Panhandle, and down to Laredo. Small businesses have told me about the challenges they're up against. They've been forced to make tough decisions about the future of their businesses and the livelihood of their employees. But the Paycheck Protection Program has provided a sense of hope and relief. Unlike funding for hospitals and state and local governments, which have taken longer to prepare for distribution, the Paycheck Protection Program was ready to accept and approve applications in only 2 weeks. The more than 135 existing SBA-certified lenders in Texas including local banks, credit unions, and financial institutions, with more being added every day, can distribute these loans. Unfortunately, whenever Congress passes substantive legislation this quickly, some things are bound to get overlooked. I have been working with Texans across the state to fill these gaps and get money flowing to all small business owners in need, regardless of bureaucratic red tape. In the first few days, it became clear that the overwhelming popularity of the program would quickly exceed the amount of money available. Now that we've tossed this lifeline to small businesses, we cannot reel it in unless they've had a chance to grab on. Senate Republicans recently introduced a bill to supplement this fund with more than $250 billion, bringing the total to $600 billion. The bill didn't include any other proposals that could have slowed its passage, just money for the Paycheck Protection Program, plain and simple. Unfortunately, the bill didn't pass. Senate Democrats blocked additional funding for this job-saving program because it didn't include money for other relief funds, which are nowhere near being depleted. Returning our country to a sense of normalcy will require a departure from Congress' normal behavior, too. There's no time for partisanship or attempts to gain leverage. We all win or we all lose. It's time to provide more funding for the Paycheck Protection Program so we can ensure that once life goes back to normal, Texas will be open for business. Senator John Cornyn, a Republican from Texas, is a member of the Senate Finance, Intelligence, and Judiciary Committees. Recent column inspires to send suggestions. Dr. Roach writes, a recent column on dry skin inspired many readers to write with suggestions. Some emphasized the medical conditions associated with dry skin. Hypothyroidism, Sjogren's syndrome, seborrheic dermatitis, and ichthyosis all are entities that can lead to this symptom and require expertise to diagnose. The last two, preferably from a dermatologist. Others wrote with suggestions. Avoiding baths and showers that are too long or too hot was advice I heard repeatedly. Many people wrote with specific treatments, but the best treatment depends on the underlying condition, so getting an evaluation from a doctor is the best way of ensuring
Dear Abby, invitations to marketing parties overwhelm uninterested friend. Dear Abby, I'm in my mid-40s and a lot of my female friends are involved in multi-level marketing companies, whether it be eyelashes, supplements, jewelry, anti-aging products, candles, leggings, etc. I receive non-stop invitations to buy their products. I'm old enough to know from experience that most of the products are rubbish and many times way overpriced. I'm simply not interested. How do I politely yet firmly decline the invitations that come my way without hurting their feelings? Multi-level marketing hater. Dear marketing, it's time you recognized the difference between a friendship and a marketing ploy. If you are invited to something, feel free to ask whether there will be any selling, and if there will be, decline. To do so is not being rude or hurtful. Women who are really your friends will continue to be, and those who aren't will disappear. Dear Abby, my mom and stepdad occasionally watch my children to help us out or to spend time with them. I just found out that mom will not put my 8-month-old into a crib or pack and play to sleep. She puts her into bed along with my 4-year-old son. I have asked my mother repeatedly not to do that, not only for safety, but so everyone can sleep. She refuses. She says I should trust them and they should be allowed to do whatever they want when the kids are with them. Please tell me what to do. Frustrated daughter. Dear Frustrated, why you should trust someone who deliberately ignores your wishes is beyond me. Let me tell you what not to do. Do not allow your children to stay with your mother under these circumstances. Sometimes mama does not know best, and this is one of them. If you prefer your children not to share the same bed, your wishes should be respected. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I live quite far from town and spend a lot of time in the car, usually his. He bought some air fresheners for his car, which made me nauseated and gave me headaches. I asked him to please remove them, but he refused because he didn't want to waste the $2.50. He said he likes the smell. Abby, we have 2 other vehicles we can take. I felt it was such a small thing he could do to make me feel better. He doesn't agree. What is your opinion on the matter? Stunk up in Florida. Dear Stunk, you may be allergic to something in that air freshener, which is why you got headaches and became nauseated. Asking your boyfriend to remove it was a small thing, not like asking him to remove a limb. If he were less self-centered and more considerate, he would have accommodated you. In my opinion, you should take one of the other cars when you drive together. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jeannie Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California 90069. For an excellent guide to becoming a better conversationalist and a more sociable person, order How to Be Popular. Send your name and mailing address plus a check or money order for $8 to Dear Abby, Popularity Booklet, Post Office Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois 61054.
Jacqueline Bigger's Stars. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Note: Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Aries and a moon in Aquarius. Happy birthday for Thursday, April 16, 2020. You are generous and fantastically humorous and keep us all laughing for our mental health. Your health is good. Extra work and accessing new information will be beneficial to your cash flow. A business partnership will work out brilliantly. If single, you do not take suitors seriously this year. If attached, put your mate ahead of your singular vision, or there will be disappointment. You have a good relationship, so hold on to it. Virgo helps you more than anyone. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Friends are genuinely a blessing today. Ask for advice or favors. Be patient and subtle. There is much brewing within you that companions cannot quite perceive. You recognize the wisdom of keeping your own counsel. Tonight, catch up via phone with an old social group. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Make the best of what is dealt to you. Research that which puzzles you. Knowledge will bring empowerment. A confrontation can be resolved. Others are sensitive and emotional. Be kind and offer sympathy. Tonight, check in on an elderly relative and offer to help. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Seize upon opportunities that arise. A variety of events creates tension and motivation. You gain an experience, although it is a busy and unsettled time. Your dedication helps others. So do your best to stay centered today. Tonight, relax and take the night off. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Today opens with some idle chatter among old co-workers. Take gossip with the proverbial grain of salt. Relationships with males, as well as elders and authority figures, will improve. Previous disappointments no longer seem so hard to accept. Tonight, early bedtime. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Friends and lovers can change roles today. Get to know those you admire better. An artistic or spiritual partner could come your way. Monetary situations will be assured of greater success. Tonight, an intimate dinner with your loved one. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. You must protect your health, which includes your mental health and emotional well-being. Step back from those who are depressing you or are perhaps psychologically draining. You help others so much, and today you must think of yourself. Tonight, practice yoga and deep breathing exercises. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Your energy level will be high and a new sense of optimism develops. A second chance occurs with a lost love or an old job. However, do not be surprised if the old patterns repeat. Correct them. You have changed. Tonight, online party. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Spend the day with children if you can. Today is also excellent for decorating, renovating, and home repair projects, even looking into a change of residence. You will especially cherish the idea of your perfect home. Tonight, quality time with family. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Trust your instincts about a new neighbor. Work to communicate with a brother or sister. Nuances and subtleties abound. Your thoughts are a bit scattered today. Welcome a relative into your household by generating a sense of a safe haven. Tonight, write and journal. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 3 stars. There can be some confusion concerning exactly what your monetary circumstances are. First impressions should be heeded as you make financial plans today. List your priorities. Much is completed, but do not push yourself or others too hard. Tonight, online retail therapy. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. You are so very concerned with the larger issues of society, but let just today be about you and your personal well-being. Write down what is important to you and stick to a schedule if you feel overwhelmed. Tonight, you receive a lot of attention. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Today promises a heightened awareness of the deeper meaning of life. It sets the pace for your spiritual growth over the next few weeks. Purifying desires and forgiveness will play a role in awakening higher thought. Tonight, spend time with a child who needs you. Born today, aviator Wilbur Wright, 1867, virtuoso Charlie Chaplin, 1889, comedian Martin Lawrence, 1965.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.